Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Southeast Alaska. I'm really happy to be back in Southeast Alaska. My name is Wendy H. I am a real compulsive overeater. I'm not a borderline case. I'm a clear compulsive overeater, and I am from Sacramento, California. I want to thank Karen for asking me to speak today and a little bit later today at the workshop. And I also want to thank Leslie very much for guiding me today and keeping track of time and running the meeting. Thank you. I want to thank anybody who's here, who's been here longer than me, because you've been making footsteps for me to follow. And thank anybody maybe who's newer, because it helps me remember why I'm here. Overeaters Anonymous and my absence is the most important thing in my life. And I need all of you to help remind me of that. If there's somebody who's new or somebody who is struggling, anybody who's eaten more food than they needed and then kept eating, anyone who's stolen food, anyone who's purged, anyone who's damaged their body with excessive exercise, if there's anyone who's starved themselves, welcome. You're in the right place. I live a life today beyond my wildest dreams. And that's a pretty remarkable statement for someone like me, because I did not come in here on a winning streak. I was not happy before I came in here. I was successful professionally, but I wasn't happy and I didn't know how to live life. I thought there was some kind of secret code out there and everybody had it but me. And in Overeaters Anonymous, I've found a beautiful way of life. So today, please take what you like, leave the rest. I'm not an expert on Overeaters Anonymous. I'm gonna try to tell my story, my experience, strength and hope, and to be vulnerable. The truth is actually in the literature and in the program. My program got me to 194 pounds. And for those of you listening, I'm using quotes on my program. The program is what really matters to me. To qualify, I have been absent by the grace of God that I found here in these rooms, a word I was appalled by before, and the 12 steps, which I worked with all of you. I've been absent since August 3rd, 1989, which is 11,576 days, one day at a time. And my top weight was 194 pounds. My weight the last time I checked, which was just a few days ago, is 128 pounds. So I'm down a good 65 pounds. Part of me wanted to step on the scale today because I think it might be lower. And that's really sick and really dysfunctional on my part. So I didn't step on the scale. I can tell you, I put on a pair of size six pants and they still fit, so that's good. Defining myself by my weight, not a good idea, even though I do step on the scale to hold myself accountable. If somebody here is struggling, I just wanna assure you that the program works. The reason I qualify is not to impress anybody, but just to impress upon all of us that the program works. And if you're in relapse or you're struggling or you're brand new, the program says we never have to take another compulsive bite as long as we live. So for me to tell my story, I actually like to quote some things from what I call the big book of Overeaters Anonymous. I realize that some people in the beverage program, which I'm not a member of, like this book too, but I really feel like it tells my story. So I'm gonna read four passages out of the big book. Under the chapter three, more about compulsive eating, as most of us have been unwilling to admit we were real compulsive overeaters. No one likes to think that she is bodily and mentally different than her fellows. Therefore, it's not surprising that our eating careers have been characterized by countless vain attempts to prove we could eat like other people. The idea that somehow, someday, she will control and enjoy her eating is the great obsession of every abnormal eater. The persistence of this illusion is astonishing. Many pursued into the gates of insanity or death. No real compulsive overeater ever recovers control. And I'm sad to say I've watched people in this program die of either anorexia or compulsive eating or bulimia too. On page 24, it says, the fact is that most real compulsive overeaters, for reasons yet obscure, have lost the power of choice in eating certain foods. Our so-called willpower becomes practically non-existent. We are unable at certain times to bring into our consciousness with sufficient force the memory or the suffering and humiliation of even a week or a month ago. We are without defense against that first compulsive bite. And I refer to this as the ism of my disease, and the ism of my disease stands for incredibly short memory. You know, every day for me was the last supper. I am never, ever, ever gonna eat this particular food again. pre-OA. So I'm going to eat a whole bunch of it now because then I'm giving it up. And the next day I would forget the insanity and the pain and how much I hated myself for doing that. Under Weagnostics, it says, when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely. Or if when eating certain foods, you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably a compulsive overeater. You may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. And this is definitely a spiritual program. And then the last thing I wanted to read, which is so much about step one and powerless for me, is no words can tell of the loneliness and despair I found in that bitter morass of self-pity. Quicksand stretched around me in all directions. I had met my match. I had been overwhelmed. Food was my master. Just suffice it to say, oh, and I want to say one other thing about the book. If somebody hasn't read through the big book, I know it can be intimidating because it's so big, but there's only 164 pages in the basic text. And someone told me when I first came in that if I just read 6 pages a day, I would read the whole text within less than a month. And I really love that. That absolutely works for me. And for me, a lot of answers are in the big book. I didn't come in here on a winning streak. Like I said, my top weight was 194 pounds. I'm sure I could have gone heavier. I have lied, cheated, and stolen for food my whole life. My brother's a normie. He still doesn't realize that I ate all his Halloween candy, his Easter candy, his Christmas candy. I just tried to leave enough so that he wouldn't notice, and he didn't notice, which means he's clearly not one of us. I ate my way through every babysitting job I ever had. I would just pull whatever was in the package a little bit close to the front to make it look like I hadn't eaten it all. I've done crazy, insane things over food. You know, for me, many, many times I put food in the garbage only to pull it back out. And the garbage for me is storage for later. Only the garbage disposal is a commitment for me. I just have to really be done with it. And I grew up fat. I was fat from the time I was a little kid. When we played dodgeball, because I was before soccer and competitive girls sports, when we played dodgeball, I was always the last one chosen. Or if the foreign exchange student was there, that's a good day for me. That meant I got to be the next to the last ones chosen. Nobody wanted me on their team. I was definitely not athletic. I was fat. And I was always trying to control food in my way. You know, maybe that'll work. Ooh, maybe that'll work. Why don't I try this? What if I switch from this food to a different version of this food? You know, they talks about that in the big book, switching brands. And I know you don't mention specific foods, so I'm going to do my very best not to do that. And what I found in Overeaters Anonymous is that there are certain things I just need to abstain from one day at a time. There's just certain foods I need to abstain from. And I find abstinence the easier, softer way. Abstinence for me is way easier than trying to control my food. I'm also aware that if I heard someone with 31 years and 8 months speak at an OA meeting when I first came in, or if I was struggling, I probably would have tuned them right out because it was incomprehensible to me. If you had told me day one that I was going to be abstinent, by God's grace, for this many years, I would have gone straight to the grocery store. I would have gotten a lot of food and I would have eaten it in the car, in the parking lot. And then after I got as full as I could, I would drive home and continue to eat. Would have scared the hell out of me, because I have a disease, and I didn't know that. I just thought it was a moral issue and I was a bad person. And the truth is, I have a disease, like somebody who has diabetes. We don't shame people. My brother's going through some health issues right now. I would never shame him over those health issues, and yet it's still my first inclination to shame myself over the fact that I have difficulties with food. And so staying absent for me, it is the easier, softer way. There are certain foods that if I pick them up, the more I eat, the more I want to eat. And I find if I just abstain from them or if I eat moderately, I don't want to eat more. It used to be before OA that I would cross a line with food and then I was completely insatiable. Because I have a disease that lies to me. And I also, you know, I like to take disease and put it into two words. I have a dis-ease, right? I'm restless, irritable, and discontent. I have D-I-S, ease. I'm not at ease with myself. And OA gives me a daily reprieve from that. And I'm really, really grateful for that. And it says I know in the How It Works, it talks about rarely have we seen a person fail. I've been around OA a long time. I've never seen someone fail if they work the steps and they're willing to surrender and work with another human being. And on page 9 of A Plan of Eating, it says in black and white, relapse is not inevitable. And I also read that to say, if someone has relapsed once or 1,000 times, another relapse is not inevitable. There's always hope. There's always a possibility of abstinence if I'm willing to be honest today and to say I need help and to say I can't do it alone. And when I came here, I just didn't have a clue. Like I said, I thought everybody knew how to live life but me. And you've given me a way of life. And I have worked the 12 steps to the best of my ability. I love the 12 steps. My home group is the Saturday morning step tradition meeting. I've been going to it for 31 years and 8 months. And every other week we read a step and every other week we read a tradition. And that's a godsend for me because it keeps me grounded in the program. I know that the 12 steps are merely a suggestion, which is great. I have to laugh. When Barb read How It Works, I've always read it in my head as, what an order. We can't go through with it. She paused in a different place today. She said, what? An order? I can't go through with it. And I love that because whether she said it that way or I just heard it that way, if you told me I had to do something, I would have said, no. I'm rebellious and I would have bolted out the door. The steps are but only a suggestion. I have to point out though, in my experience, I've never seen another suggestion within OA. It's not like we have a plan B, right? It's not like we say, well, work the steps. And if that doesn't work, then here we have this other thing. And then we have this other thing. So for me, the steps are the cornerstone of the program. And it says in the 12th step, having had a spiritual awakening is the result of these steps. So I love the steps. The traditions are also extremely important to me. And I use the traditions in my marriage. I use the traditions in my business. The traditions are written in the present tense. The steps are written in the past. And I need a lot of help with relationships. And I have been wildly successful in business as a direct result of running my company through the 12 traditions. And I don't think I'd be married today if I didn't have the 12 traditions. The idea that there's a common welfare as opposed to just Wendy's welfare, you know, that that wouldn't have occurred to me before. Not really, because I thought there was him and me and one of us had to win. And I certainly wasn't going to be the one that lost. And that's not the way it is today. You know, there's a common welfare. I'm just going to read off the tools. I know that Leslie did that at the beginning, but I have a sponsor and I am a sponsor. And I also started a few years ago, when I start working with the steps with someone, I tell them that I expect them to be a sponsor at some point too, when we're through working the steps or after the fifth step. Because sometimes there's a shortage of sponsors. And so I've started to set that up as an expectation. Doesn't say that in the OA literature, but it's important to me. We have a plethora of literature, so much more than when I first came in. So there's tons of pamphlets and books, and we have meetings, and I've been fortunate. I've been to meetings in Greece and Japan and Juneau, Alaska, and they're all grounded in the steps. They're all grounded in the traditions. They're wonderful. Service is a tool. Everybody who's here, the 8 beautiful souls that are here in this meeting, are of service right now. And I'm so glad that you're here. A plan of eating is a tool. Knowing, you know, when, how, why, what I'm going to eat is important to me. Telephone, which when I first came in, we didn't have texting. I don't know about you guys, but I'm a big texter. I love to text. So the telephone's a wonderful tool. Writing's a wonderful tool, which I will pick up last and greatly resent, you know, not until I'm in a lot of pain. I don't like writing, other than certain things that I write down every day, my gratitude list, and I write down my food every day. And having a plan of action, which is really all-encompassing, and anonymity. So those are the tools. One of the things that I use as a tool also is I'm not a recovering alcoholic. But I have since the beginning gone to a lot of AA meetings, open AA meetings, because in AA, they just don't drink no matter what. And I needed that structure and I needed to be able to apply that to my food. Today, in abstinence, I live a life beyond my wildest dreams. When I say that, it's a very literal statement for me. That little girl who was last in dodgeball by the sheer grace of a higher power and a lot of support from my OA friends, I jogged the California International Marathon. That's 26.2 miles. That's impossible for someone like me. I came from a non-athletic family. I was fat. I wasn't athletic. And I jogged it the way you taught me, 1 mile at a time. That's how I got through the California National Marathon. I'm a scuba diver today. I would never have believed that I could do something like that. The first time I tried to get certified many years ago, you have to be 40 feet underwater and clear your mask, which means you can't breathe. And it freaked me out and I aborted, because that's what I'm capable of doing without God. I aborted. I was like, oh, I'm not doing this training anymore. And then thank goodness a few years later, I tried again and I was scared to death, 40 feet under the water, not able to breathe, clearing my mask. I never have prayed so hard in my whole life. And you know what? I cleared my mask. I got certified. I'm a scuba diver today. I wake up feeling light every day. I woke up today feeling good about what I ate yesterday. Before OA, I would have flashbacks over what I ate the day before, right? I would start to think slowly over time, oh my God, I ate that. Oh my God, I ate that. Oh God, I can't believe I ate that. And all that shame, oh, I hated it. Or wrappers in the car, or wrappers I had to hide in the trash compactor. I don't do that anymore. Today, I really wake up light and I'm happy. And I have great relationships today. I was terrified of my father and hated my mother when I came into OA. And damn it if I didn't have to work the steps around them too and make amends to them. And they both passed away, but I'll tell you, I was very close to both of them long before they died. And I was able to be of service to them each individually long before they died. I live a life today of great meaning, and that's of service to others. My business is 31 years old. I sold off a big chunk of it years ago. I'm going to shut it down this year. I'm going to dissolve the corporation and shut it down. But that was beyond my wildest dreams. I was named Businesswoman of the Year a long time ago, in 2005. There was 1,000 people at a sit-down dinner watching me get Businesswoman of the Year. I'm married for 30 years. For 30 years, I've been with my partner. And when I met my partner, he was single and age-appropriate. I won't tell you my whole Al-Anon story, although I am in that program too. But before I came into OA, I didn't know that I had choices when men were interested in me. So I had a couple of relationships with separated but not quite divorced men who I was going to like help find their self-esteem or something. I don't know. I just live a life beyond my wildest dreams. I'm physically active. And I have to say today on April 17th, I have survived, as we have all of you, at least 13 months, maybe more, of a global pandemic. And I thank God for that so much. And I'm one of the very blessed people that has been able to get both of her vaccine shots. And I'm incredibly grateful for that. And I'll tell you, and I'll end on this. If I was still out there eating when COVID hit, I probably would have died by now. Not because I weighed 194 pounds and had comorbidities, because I wouldn't have, I didn't go into a store for a year, literally. We found Instacart and that's all we did. I would have gone to my binge places and gotten my binge food and I wouldn't have been able to stop myself. I wouldn't have been able to help it. I'd be going into 7-Elevens and stores that serve stuff that I have no business eating. And I would have risked my life because I could not stop. And because of all of you and the 12 steps, I didn't have to pick up on that. And I am forever grateful for that. And I want to be of service to anyone who maybe did pick up through that, because it's perfectly understanding. It's understandable how something like that could happen. So anyway, that's it. I live a life beyond my wildest dreams. I'm going to drop into the chat two resources that we'll use later for people who can be at the workshop. But they're just good resources to have. One is a list of pamphlets and books that Overeaters Anonymous has published. So it's all OA approved on either abstinence or a plan of eating. And the other one is a list of some questions that's OA approved, which is my abstinence strong? Which is important to me because if I can get away with something, my disease wants to figure out a way to get in there and get away with it. So that is miasthen strong. I don't know if that's the proper name, but that's how I hear it. It's a really good checklist for me. So thank you for allowing me to share my experience, strength, and hope.
Thank you, Wendy. Can you give us a little synopsis of the workshop that's going to follow this meeting today?
Yes. Kieran W., and again, I'm very grateful to her. She asked me to speak on abstinence, a plan of eating, and hope. So that's what I'm going to do. And my thought was, I'll tell you, I went from when she first asked, I thought, well, I think we're going to fill 90 minutes with that. And then about a nanosecond later, I went, oh my God, we only have 90 minutes for that. And then this is Zoom. I've never done something like this on Zoom, right? I haven't led a retreat in the last year. I haven't done anything like that. I've spoken at meetings, but so then it was like, oh, how's it not going to be a lecture series? Nobody wants to hear me talk for 90 minutes. So what I realized very quickly with God's help is that we'll make it interactive. So I'll talk about abstinence for a while and then we'll open it up. And I have a question to get people thinking, but you can talk about whatever you want. And then we'll talk about a plan of eating for a while. And there's a question and we'll open it up and then hope. So it'll definitely be me learning from you. And hopefully I will offer something that is of value to you as well. But I promise I'm not talking for 90 minutes.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you.
Let me push stop recording.